We want to give you a warm welcome this evening in the Saviour's worthy and precious name to our carol service. And we trust the Lord will bless us and that he will meet with us and we'll know the presence of the Lord that maketh a feast. During the month of December, there are those in the congregation that have been singing and taking part in the services. And tonight, we're going to do that also. And we're going to ask the instrumental group, we enjoyed them the last Sabbath evening, that they played some of our young people of the Youth Fellowship, and they're going to come now and minister to us with the instruments, please. Thank you. Thank you. also glad to have Grace alone, and we're going to ask them if they'll come now and minister to us in song. Also glad this evening to have the children from the Christian school, and we're going to ask them to come and to minister to us in song. We had a blessed time at the carol service in the school on Friday morning. The children were singing well, and they're going to come now and minister to us, and Mrs. Boyd also is going to come and play with them. Thank you.
Conquered. That's why we sing. Jesus is King.
We're going to have another instrumental. This time it's the piano and the organ, and Ian and Diane are going to play for us. Please.
Thank you. Before we bring the message tonight, we're going to ask the Word of Truth if they will come and minister in song. Thank you.
Before this
Matthew chapter 2, the portion of scripture that was read earlier in the meeting. Let's turn to it, please. The story of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2. And we have the opening 12 verses read for us in the meeting tonight. The Son of God came into the world, and he came into the world to be the Savior of men. That was the greatest event that ever took place in the annals of history, that God would be veiled in human flesh, that God would be manifested as a man. The very first group to hear the glad tidings and to visit the infant Christ were the shepherds. Having heard the news from the angels, they hastened to Bethlehem and they came and they saw Jesus Christ. After them, as we saw this morning, Simeon and Anna in the temple in Jerusalem had the privilege, when Jesus was 40 days old, to see him. Almost 2 years have passed by, and no one took notice of the Savior until the wise men came. The Word of God tells us that they came from the east. They may have been Arabians or Chaldeans or Persians, we're not sure. But they came from some eastern country. And by the way, they were not three wise men. We hear songs and we hear people speaking about the three wise men or three kings. The experts, in fact, reckon there were about 14 of them. It is true there were three gifts, but the Bible doesn't tell us how many men came. And in all likelihood, there were more than three. They came seeking Jesus Christ because they had seen an extraordinary star, such as they had never seen before, which indicated to them that an extraordinary person had been born in the land of Judea. We are not sure who they were or what kind of wise men they were. Their names are not recorded for us in God's word. Nevertheless, they now begin to be very wise indeed, because they come seeking Christ. You can do nothing wiser than to seek Jesus Christ. You can do nothing better at this Christmas time, when emphasis is placed upon the coming of the Son of God into the world, than to seek him. You can do nothing better tonight in this meeting, if you haven't done so already, than to seek him, the Savior of man, the Redeemer of your soul. And I want to talk just for a few minutes tonight about the wise men. I want you to notice, as you look there at verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 2, their goal. What was their ambition? It tells us at the end of verse 1, "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Their goal, their ambition, that which occupied their mind and their hearts, was to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, on their behalf, it took effort. You think of the long journey that was embarked upon. They might have said to themselves, "Well, if a king has been born, we're going to hear about it soon enough in our country, and that will be time enough to pay tribute to him." But no, they could not wait. And they take this long, tedious journey to inquire after him. What trouble they went to. How many weary miles they travelled. And of course, the Bible is better understood in an Eastern setting and in Bible times. You think of the length of time that it took to make this journey. Think of the many dangers that were on the way. And think also of the transport that they had, not the modern transport that we have today, but in all likelihood they came travelling on camels. But none of these things moved them. They had their hearts set on seeing him that was born King of the Jews, and so they come seeking. You know, if a person really desires to know Christ, to meet with Christ, to receive him as their Saviour and find him. He will not mind the pains or the perils involved. He will stop at nothing until he comes to the place where Jesus Christ is. These men came seeking. There was a lot of effort involved. Of course, they made a mistake. They came to the wrong place. They came to the city of Jerusalem. Now, of course, it seemed to be the right city, the logical place, the obvious choice to make, because Jerusalem was the city of God. It was the place beautiful for situation. That's how the Bible describes it. And surely if a king, and the king of the Jews, was born, it must be in this metropolis, the city, the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem. But they came to the wrong place, for that was not the city. And I'm reminded how mistakes are made today as men seek salvation. They go to the wrong places. They seek salvation in religion. They seek salvation in the church. They seek salvation in some preacher or minister. They seek salvation by their good works, by their fine endeavors that they make in this life. And so they go to the wrong places. They're just like these wise men as they set off on their journey. But they make this inquiry when they arrive at Jerusalem. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, no man at first could give that answer, because men were in ignorance concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. Where is he? Why do you ask? Well, we have seen his star in the east. Why do you want him? Why are you seeking him? We are come to worship him. Herod hears the news. It troubles him. He's afraid. He felt threatened. And he gathers together the religious men. Surely they must know, the chief priests and the scribes. And he demands of them where Christ should be born. Well, at least they knew what the Old Testament scripture said concerning that. And they replied, in Bethlehem of Judea. And Herod called the wise men and gave them the instruction to go and search for Christ. And when you find him, come and tell me, because I want to go and worship him also. Well, we know the intent of Herod was not pure. He wanted to kill Christ because he felt that his throne was threatened. Where is he? I wonder tonight in this meeting, is someone asking that question? Where is he? Where is Jesus? Where can I find him? How can I come to know him as my Savior? I trust that you'll be like these wise men, that you'll have this goal, this ambition to seek the Lord. You know, it's very interesting that these men were strangers who sought him. They did not enjoy the religious privileges that others did. We might have thought that the scribes and the Pharisees would have been the very first to hasten to Bethlehem on the slightest rumor that the Savior was born, but not so. A few unknown strangers from a distant land were among the first who seek him out. Often the same is true today. How frequent the very persons who live nearest the means of grace are those who neglect it the most. There's much truth in the old proverb, the nearer the church, the further from God. I'm not going to judge my neighbours tonight, but you can think of any church, any gospel preaching church, any evangelistic church that seeks to uphold Christ as the Saviour of man. And so often it is the people who live right beside it, who are those who neglect it, who fail to come to the house of God and hear the message of salvation. And it's someone else at a distance, or maybe those that have had the privileges of being brought up in the gospel, and they ought to know because they've been told often enough. And yet it's not they who seek the Lord. It is some stranger, just like these wise men. What a goal, what an ambition. I trust it will be yours tonight. I want you to notice, secondly, their guidance. The Word of God tells us in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. God directed them. As astrologers, they had observed his star. The star which they had seen began to move, began to travel. It led them to the house where Jesus lay. It was a light to guide them to the Savior. And that's important. God has given you a light to guide you to Christ. What is that light? It's the Bible itself. The psalmist David reminds us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It is a light that shineth in a dark place, and God has given to us his precious word, that it might guide us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might come to know him as our Savior." All that we need to know about Christ is in this word. All we need to know about his person, about his life, about his wondrous work at the cross of Calvary. All that we need to know about salvation itself, how we can find peace with God and be saved, is found within the volume of revealed truth in this book that we have before us tonight. The Bible, the light of God. You know, many religions do not lead us to Christ. Right across this world tonight, there are many, many religions, but they do not point to Christ. And of course, there are many who speak about Christ, but they do not lead to the truth as it is found in Christ. And I know tonight, throughout our own country, there will be many carol services, there will be many special meetings, and you will hear songs about Christ coming into the world. Perhaps they will sing the very hymns that we have sung together tonight, and they will talk about the incarnation, they will talk about the birth of the Savior, but they will not lead the congregation to the truth as it is found in Christ alone, who alone is the Savior of men. We need to examine what we hear by the Bible. The prophet Isaiah tells us, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And we bring every truth, we bring every teaching, every proclamation underneath the scrutiny of God's word. I wonder, are you looking for salvation this evening? Do you need guidance? Turn to the Bible. Turn to God's precious word. It's a light to guide the way. Their goal, to see Christ. Their guidance, the star, the light, led them to the place where Jesus was. I want you to notice, thirdly, their gladness. Verse 10 tells us, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were glad to follow God's guidance. The guidance of the star brought joy. And we should be glad of everything that leads us to the way of Christ. Christ is the way of salvation. He's the way of peace. He's the way of joy. He's the way of eternal life. And to be shown that way, surely it ought to bring gladness to our hearts. How true it is that sinners are lying in darkness. They're in bondage. They are in the misery of sin. They are condemned to die, as the Bible tells us. Therefore, it's a privilege to be shown the way. And God does show us the way through his word, through godly preachers who preach this book, Sunday school teachers and children's workers who teach the children the way, the truth, and the life, family members who have a burden to see you converted to Christ. Have they not taught you the way that you might be saved? If you were in terrible danger tonight, and a friend told you the way of escape, you would be glad and you would take that way. My friend, spiritual and eternally speaking, you are in danger. You're in danger of being lost forevermore. To be shown the way ought to bring you joy and gladness. Here's the way of life. Here's the way of peace. Here's the way of salvation, how my soul can be saved. I trust tonight, as you have listened to God's word in the singing of the hymns, in his word as we've read it together, in the preaching of it, the gladness will come to your heart because you begin to realize, here's the way of salvation. Here's the way that I can get to heaven. But notice fourthly, their gaze. Verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. What was their gaze? They saw Christ. My friends, they fell down and they worshipped him. We do not read that they gave such honor to Herod. Herod was the king. They did not fall down and worship him. Nor when they came to the house where the infant child was, did they fall before Mary or before Joseph. For man is not to be worshipped. No, they fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus. The word of God says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the wise men fell before the young child, and they worshipped him as God. That took great faith, didn't it? They believed in Christ when they had never seen him. They believed in Christ when the scribes and the Pharisees were unbelieving. They believed in Christ when they saw him, a little infant on Mary's knee, and they worshipped him as king. Think of this. They saw no miracles to convince them. They heard no teaching to persuade them. They beheld no signs of his deity and greatness to overpower them. They saw nothing but a young infant, helpless and weak, needing a mother's care. And yet they believed that what they saw was the divine Savior of the world. And they fall down and worship him. That was a great step of faith. They believed that this infant child was a great king, the Lord himself, the Messiah that was so promised. Consider the faith of these wise men as they fall in worship before this child. They believed and they worshipped despite their lack of revelation. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the revelation of God that the Jewish people had, and yet they believed. They believed and worshipped despite the surroundings. It's just an ordinary house. Poor, humble, and mean. And yet they believed that that infant in the cradle was the King of Kings. They believed and worshipped despite the parents that were there. They were just ordinary people. They were not monarchs. They were not kings and queens of the earth. They believed despite the garments that they wore, not the rich robes of a prince. Jesus was in swaddling clothes. Mary and Joseph wore ordinary attire. They believed and worshipped even though there was no attendance, no servants, no courtiers. You and I tonight have more helps than they had. We have the volume of Holy Scripture, the complete Word of God, to help us along the way. These wise men did not have this. We have the record of history. We have the testimony of many saints. And yet we still need faith to believe and worship and trust him as our King and our Savior. May God give you that faith tonight in this meeting. Faith to believe. Faith to fall at the feet of Christ. Faith to call upon his name, to adore him, to love him, to submit your way to him. The wise man humbly and faithfully worships Christ. Will you come seeking the Lord tonight in this meeting? Will you be wise? Do the wisest thing that you could ever do. Will you fall down and cry, be merciful to me, a sinner? The door to heaven is open wide that you may enter in. Christ came to die. He came to suffer. He came to bleed. He came to seek and to save. He came to bestow pardon and forgiveness, but you must come to him. You will not do anything wiser. You will not do anything better. You will not do anything more vital. Amidst all the glitter and the festivity of Christmas time, may you see the Lord. May you be wise unto salvation. May you seek him as these wise men did. May you come to know him and worship him as your Lord, as your Savior. I trust you well. Let us all pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this wonderful account of thy word that gives us the history of these wise men who came seeking the King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of men. And O God, tonight we're conscious that in this meeting there are those who have never sought him. They've never come to believe in him. And they've never truly fallen at his feet to worship him. Oh, tonight make the difference in their lives, we pray. Open their hearts to receive Christ. Bring them, Lord, to that place of submission where they realize that their sin has taken them to a lost eternity. But Jesus came into the world to open up that way of salvation through his life, through his death and resurrection. Oh God, we pray that men and women and young people will avail themselves of the opportunity and seek the Lord and seek him tonight in this meeting. Oh, what a Christmas it would be for someone in this meeting to find Christ. May it be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to close the meeting by just asking our young people from the Youth Fellowship to sing that piece, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Come forward, please.